Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And we're really happy you're with us here this evening, this August 31st, 2025. The Bible series begins tomorrow night. It's hard to believe it's been a year already since our last series, and we're going to be talking about what this year? What are we going to be doing?
We're talking about prophecy in Daniel and Revelation, and what a time to be talking about it, the events that are going on in the world, and especially the USA.
Yeah, it's just an amazing thing how in the past year especially, we've seen so many things come to fruition, and we'll be touching on some of those in this Bible series.
Yeah, especially the last part of Revelation 13 in regards to the United States.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, Ed, I think a lot of people miss that. They don't realize that this is what Revelation 13 talks about.
Right.
And it's amazing, you know, that, and that's one thing I want to say. The Bible doesn't come out and say this is the United States, but it also doesn't come out and say, you know, when you look at the prophecies of Daniel, it doesn't say, well, this is Medo-Persia, this is Rome. You figure those things out by secular history. Mm-hmm. And when we look at certain things in Daniel chapter 2, we see that he says, you are this head of gold to the king.
So, yeah, there's identifying characteristics that are given in the Bible to help determine what the Bible's talking about.
Yeah, and it's really exciting. In fact, Jesus, in many ways, spoke this way when he taught, when he said, when you see the leaves on the trees, right?
Yes.
And so he was giving us clues and ways to know right before he comes back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do believe that we're living deep in the end times of what the Bible prophesies right before Jesus comes. Now, again, I always throw this disclaimer out there, and I know you do too, Ed, and that is we don't know the day or the hour, but we can look for these composite signs to be ready. And it's important that we be ready today. And why is that?
Because we don't know when we're going to take our last breath, let alone when Christ is going to come.
Yeah, and our characters have to be like Christ's.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there's anything in my life that I have to get out, I need to be praying about this each and every day, numerous times a day, and keep the world out of my life. It's so important. And it's more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding this more and more. I get bombarded by the world constantly. And I think that just being in tune with those things helps me to recognize when I'm being attacked more than not. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, we just, first of all, we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be here each and every week and keeping us on the air all of these years, even though we talk about some pretty controversial things.
Yes, we do.
And we don't want to water down the gospel. We don't want to
We also want to speak only according to the Word of God, not our own thoughts or opinions.
So important. And you know, it's sometimes that's hard to do because we do have thoughts and opinions, but we have to stick to the Word. And I appreciate that you always, when I get out here, you always reel me back in and say, well, what does God's Word say?
Yeah.
Because I do. I like to share my thoughts with people. So tell us a little bit, Ed, about this ministry.
Well, we're a little ministry here in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street. Our series starts Monday night at 7 p.m.
And
we're going
1st.
Through the weekend till Sabbath, Saturday. And the last message will be when?
That will be at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Sabbath or Saturday morning.
That's when we normally have our church service. We worship on the biblical Sabbath. And we have services Wednesday evening that's available via Zoom. And our services on Sabbath are live streamed, and they're available via Zoom for Sabbath School, which starts at 9:30. And the worship hour is at 11.
There you go. So each Wednesday, we typically meet, like Ed said, for a Bible study. But this week, we will not have that Bible study. We'll be streaming at prophecyhope.com.
Yes, that's right. We're streaming live the series that we're putting
on. So if you want to tune in, you can go to the website prophecyhope.com. You can click that link at the top left that will, it'll say, actually, I have to change that link. For tomorrow night. I have to get that changed. And that way people can click on it to see the Bible series. Also, there are lots of there are lots of sermons that are archived there, and these programs are archived there. They're usually about 3 or 4 weeks behind. And let me see, there was something else. If somebody wants to contact you, Ed, how do they reach you?
You can reach me, ed@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me, mark@prophecyhope.com. And we also want you to know that we want to get Bibles in your hands.
Yes.
And if you don't have a Bible or you want a specific copy, we keep around and we buy them by the case, King James Bibles and the New King James Bible. The Authorized King James is probably the best Bible translation that we have today.
So you're saying the most accurate?
I think it's closest to what the true word says.
Okay.
Because some of the other Bibles, I use the New King James when I preach because it's more modern and it speaks the language of the day. It's mm-hmm. easier to understand. But Ed, we've found a number of problems in there
right.
where they actually have an agenda to twist doctrine mm-hmm. into something that it doesn't say.
But at the same time, this is interesting to me that we're having this conversation because there are some of the modern translations actually eliminate additional words that were not part of the original manuscripts that the King James has in it.
That's true. Yeah, so I don't know that there is a perfect Bible translation.
Right.
It takes study on the part of the reader
right.
to be able to know and determine some of these things. And this is why we say, get a Bible in your hands, look at the words on the page. As we are reading, there are times that because I'm used to a certain translation, I will, in my mind, I'll read it the way I'm used to reading it, and then that's not what it says,
right.
and I have to go back and correct it. So if you want a Bible, please email us. We will make sure you get a free copy of the Bible, and we've shipped them in many different places. Lastly, I think that's it. Is that all the business we have?
I think so.
And would you pray for us, Ed?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're again thankful for this time where we can open your word, the Bible, and to study it, to see what the words on the page say. Father, there's so much happening in the world right now. Help us to turn to your word, to seek revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that, Father, you would impart your Spirit through your Son, Jesus Christ, into our hearts and minds, that we can have peace in our hearts in spite of what's going on around us. Father, as we study these words on the page today, may you give us wisdom and knowledge to understand them. And Father, we ask that you guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So, Ed, for weeks now we've been studying in Revelation, and each week we invite people to email us. And if they have any questions or if they have something that they would like us to study
right.
or have answered. Now, somebody has contacted you and right. asked a specific question.
Yeah, the question that they asked is, what's the difference between the baptism of John and Jesus, and are we all anointed with the Holy Spirit?
Wow, that's a really good question. And, you know, so what we're going to do this evening is we're going to take the time, we're going to deviate from the study in Revelation because we want to answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel like this is such an important topic. It needs to be addressed. So this may take this evening and maybe another program to answer. It might take several. We don't know. So where do we start, Ed? Where would you like
to
begin?
Well, let's start by talking about or reading about who John the Baptist is.
Okay.
Why don't we go to the book of Luke, chapter 1, and the account begins in verse 5.
So this is, we're talking about, just to clear it up, we're talking about John the Baptist, not John the Revelator that wrote the book of John.
Not the apostle of John.
There you go.
Yeah.
And he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the book of Revelation, the apostle John did.
Yes.
But this is John the Baptist.
Yes, and so this is going to tell us all about John the Baptist.
Excellent.
So I'm going to just read probably 5 through 25.
Okay, this is in Luke chapter 1.
Chapter 1. In the days of Herod, the king of Judah, there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of, why did I choose to read this, Abijah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. You know, that's so important.
Absolutely.
You know, they were following God. They were being obedient to Him. They were just walking the life that they should walk. Verse 7, and they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their days. And it happened in his serving in the order of his course before God, according to the custom of the priest, it was his lot to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And all the multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him as he was standing on the right of the altar of incense. And seeing this, Zacharias was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not fear, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and they shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Hmm. And he shall turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "By what shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is advanced in her days." And answering, the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands before God, and I am sent to you to speak to you and to show you glad tidings. And behold, you shall be silent and not be able to speak until the day these things shall be performed, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he was making signs to them and remained speechless. And as soon as the days of his service was accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "So the Lord has dealt with me in the days in which he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." So, does this story sound familiar to another story in the Bible?
It does. You know, this part here where he's speechless too, he couldn't talk.
Yeah.
He couldn't talk.
So, because of his unbelief.
What account are you talking about when you say, does this sound familiar?
Abraham and Sarah.
Yeah, because she was barren. She wanted to have a child, but it wasn't until she was very old, advanced age.
Yeah, I think in her 90s.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so it's the same story here. God had prepared this man, John the Baptist, to be used by him, to be anointed by him. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit when he was in his mother's womb.
Yeah, that's what it said in verse 15.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've read this before, Ed, but that struck me when you were reading it this time.
And, you know, the angel talking to him says in verse 19, he says, "I am Gabriel, who stands before God." So we know who this angel is. And it's just, this is the beginning of the story of John the Baptist and how it started. This is the working of God in humanity.
Amen.
So let's keep reading. Now, this is going to be interspersed with the story of Jesus.
Okay.
So let's keep reading. Mark, if you could read 26 through 38.
Sure. This is Luke chapter 1, picking up in verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her.
You know, I love that. Let it be to me according to your word.
Amen.
You know, this is the same angel that was talking to Zacharias, the angel Gabriel. And he came and was having this conversation with Mary. You know, it's interesting that in verse 36, the modern King James says, And behold, your cousin Elizabeth.
It is a cousin. For some reason, the New King James says relative.
Yeah. So there's this relationship, this human relationship between the mother of John the Baptist and the mother of Jesus, Mary. But there is also a difference. Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Elizabeth conceived by her husband.
Right. And so, you know, this is interesting to me too, because you know, we all come from various backgrounds, and there are some false teachings about the Son of God. It says here that Mary conceived.
Yes.
So the Son of God also becomes the Son of Man, because he actually, this is humanity here. Mary's
yes.
a human.
Right.
So Jesus, when he's born on this earth, is as much a part of Mary as he is the Son of God.
Right. Another thing we need to pay attention to here so we can understand what John the Baptist says later on is that her cousin Elizabeth was in her sixth month of pregnancy when Mary had this conversation with the angel. So John the Baptist is going to be a little bit older than Jesus when they're born.
Right.
It's important to understand that, and you'll see why later on.
Okay.
All right, let's keep reading. I'm going to read verses 39 through 45. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now, this is the same Zacharias that Gabriel had this conversation with, and Elizabeth is her cousin. Verse 41. And it happened as Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John would receive the Holy Spirit while he was in the womb of his mother.
That's amazing.
And cried with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, talking to Mary. And from where is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed, for there shall be a perfecting of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let's go ahead. Can you keep reading verses 46 through 56?
Sure. Now, my Bible, it has a heading here. It says the Song of Mary.
Yes.
So she actually sings.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones, and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house.
Now, when you were reading verse 55, I heard something in your voice.
Yes.
You recognize, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever.
Yeah.
That seed being singular, that seed being Jesus Christ.
Amen. And this theme is from the beginning of the Bible to the end, isn't it?
Yeah. Let's continue on. I'm going to read verses 57 through 66. And the time was fulfilled to Elizabeth for her to bear, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and her kinsfolk heard how the Lord had magnified his mercy with her, and they rejoiced with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and were calling it Zacharias after his father's name. And his mother answered and said, "No, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is none of your kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his fathers how he would be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they all marveled. And his mouth was immediately opened, and his tongue loosened, and he spoke and praised God. And fear came on all who lived all around them. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What kind of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. So we can see that this angel Gabriel's prophecy about Zacharias came true. As soon as John was born, these things were completed, and he acknowledged that this child's name would be John, as the angel told him. His tongue was loosened. He could now talk.
You know, I looked up the name John in Greek, and that name means Jehovah. Let me just look again. It means Jehovah is a gracious giver.
Yeah.
That's what the name John means. So it's amazing how these people had names that were according to the qualities and the things that God did within their lives.
Yes. Let's finish out the chapter. Let's read verses 67 through 80, if you could read that for us, please.
Sure. Now his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel.
So here we have this information about John the Baptist and the prophecies involved in this miraculous way this birth came about. This was the work of God in the human race to perform these things. John the Baptist was anointed to prepare the way for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, on this earth.
So he's called a prophet of God. It says that you'll be called a prophet of the highest, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. So he was preparing people for the coming of the Messiah.
Yes.
And isn't this really a commission that God has given to people today to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah?
For Christ's coming again.
Yes.
Yes. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3.
Okay.
And let's read verses 1 through 22. Just because I love to pronounce all these names, I'm going to let you read this.
I hope I can get it right. Here we go. So Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And how far am I reading?
22.
Okay. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and in the region of Trachonitis. Yeah, that's it, Trachonitis. And Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then he said to the multitudes that came to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answered and said to them, "He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise." Then tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, "And what shall we do?" So he said to them, "Do not imitate anyone or accuse falsely." Do not intimidate. It says not imitate. We got to imitate Jesus. It says, "Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages." Verse 15. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And with many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. Is that where I'm stopping?
22.
Okay. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased."
So we'll read a little bit more about this interaction between John and Jesus later on. But so the question that was asked was, what is the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus? So in verse 3, it says that he, being John the Baptist, came into all the country around Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
Right.
So this was the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins.
Okay.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on as we go to some other verses. But when we go down to verse 16, John the Baptist is saying, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I comes, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire."
Hmm.
So right here we can see a contrast, a difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus.
So just to recap, it says in verse 3 that he says he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That was yes. John. And then it says in verse 16, John says, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So we have to determine what the difference is here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's go on to Matthew chapter 3.
All right.
And let me get there.
Matthew 3.
And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 17. And I'm going to be reading from the Modern King James Version. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. What does that word repent mean?
It means to stop doing what you're doing, to turn away from whatever it is that is unacceptable to
right.
God.
It's not just confessing your sins and asking for forgiveness, but it's actually cease from doing that.
Yeah, change your life.
Yeah. Verse 3, for this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Isn't this interesting that the life of John the Baptist was prophesied in the book of Isaiah?
Yeah, it is. That really is.
Verse 4. And the same John had his clothing of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea went out to him, and all the region around about Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But seeing many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say within yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he who comes after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will cleanse his floor and gather his wheat into the storehouse, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. But John, restraining him, said, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And answering, Jesus said unto him, allow it now, for it is becoming to us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. And Jesus, when he had been baptized, when he went up immediately out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
So this account is recorded in Luke and in Matthew. So we have two witnesses here.
We'll have two more.
Okay, good.
Mark and John as well. So here we see the question again, what is the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus? The baptism of John is one of repentance leading to remission of sins. Here in verse 6, they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Again, he has this warning to the Pharisees and Sadducees that were coming to observe but not participate. And then in verse 11, he talks about that he, John the Baptist, baptizes with water to repentance, but that Jesus, who he's talking about, comes after me, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yeah.
And this verse 12, whose fan in his hand, he will cleanse his floor and gather his wheat into the storehouse, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is just a visual demonstration to the people what he's talking about. Back then, when they thrashed wheat, they would thrash it on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oxen would travel over and break the seeds out. And the chaff, the remaining part of the wheat, which was lighter, they would fan away. So there's just the wheat that's left.
I see.
And this chaff would be burned to get rid of it afterwards. The wheat here that's being talked about is the followers of God, the followers of Jesus Christ.
And that's, the Bible speaks about separating the wheat from the tares,
yes.
The wheat from the weeds.
Yeah.
And that's what this is talking about.
Right. It's talking about this process of determine who's going to follow God and His Son and who's not.
Mm.
So let's go back to the book of Luke.
Okay.
And let's look at chapter 7.
I love that we're looking at all of these different proof texts, all of these different accounts
right.
of the same thing. Luke chapter 7?
Yeah, and let's start in verse 18. And 18 through 35. This is an important section of Scripture. And you'll see why in a minute. We'll discuss why in a minute.
Sure.
Starting with verse 18.
Oh, you want me to read?
Okay. Yeah, if you okay. could read that, please.
Very good. This is Luke chapter 7, verse 18. It says, "Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all these things. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'"
This report of John's disciples to John was they had gone to see Jesus, and they reported to him what he was doing.
Okay.
Verse 20.
Verse 20. "When the men had come to him, they said, 'John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?' And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me.' When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitudes concerning John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in the king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, "To what then shall I liken the men of this generation, and what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, He has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, Look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by all her children.'"
So this is an interesting section about John the Baptist. In verse 27, it says, "Of he whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before you, your face, who shall prepare your ways before you.'" This is found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, which says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, says the Jehovah of hosts." It's talking about John the Baptist is preparing the way of Christ.
Yeah, it's also prophesied in Isaiah 40, verse 3.
Yeah, can you read that?
Yes, it says, "The voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'"
So let's look at verse 29. It says, all the people and the tax collectors who heard him justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. How did they justify God? They listened to John the Baptist and repented, confessed their sins, and they were baptized by him. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God, that God spoke through John the Baptist, not being baptized by him. So then Jesus talks about this generation. What are they like? And, you know, they're not being obedient. They're calling John the Baptist names, then they're calling the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, names. But he says, wisdom has been justified by all her children. The wisdom of God in sending John the Baptist to prepare the way. Those people that listened to him and were baptized into the baptism of repentance and remission of sins justified God and his wisdom in sending him. And so those who believe Jesus will justify the wisdom of God in sending his only begotten Son to the world.
Amen. So here John is, he's doing the will of God, he's preaching about Jesus, he's telling people to repent from the things that they're doing that's wrong, and he's being accused of having a demon.
Yes.
It's backward like the world is today.
This is the same thing they accused Jesus of.
Yeah.
Of casting out evil spirits by Beelzebub.
Right, by the power of Satan.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how these things happen. And this is, these are things that are going to happen again as time goes on, as far as people being accused of not worshiping God when they're truly worshiping God.
Right. So here again, we're asking the question, what's the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism of Jesus? Both are of God.
Right.
We just found that out.
Absolutely.
The difference we've seen so far is John is proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and Jesus' baptism includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And also the end of this person's question was, you know, we'll all receive the Holy Spirit. So we'll continue to look at these things. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 1.
All right.
And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11 of Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I shall send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. And the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And we just gave those reference prophecies in the book of Malachi and Isaiah. Verse 4, John came baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Again, this is saying what John's baptism was about. And all the land of Judea and those of Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair and with a leather girdle about his loin, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and proclaimed, saying, there is one coming after me who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down to loosen. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and the voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So whose voice from heaven was this?
This was the voice of God, Jesus' Father.
Yes. If he's saying Jesus is his Son, then he must be his Father.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, we see this understanding of what the baptism of John the Baptist is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the book of John, chapter 1.
All right.
And let's start in verse chapter 6.
Chapter 1, verse 6?
Chapter 1, verse 6.
Okay.
And we're going to read 6 through 34, and we'll split this up. If you can read the first 18 to verse 18.
All right. So this is John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, who bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
So here we see this introduction to John, the one who came to witness the light, saying that he was not the light. In verse 9, it starts talking about Jesus, mm-hmm. that he is the true light. He enlightens every man coming into the world. And, you know, this is interesting that two times John is declaring here that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God.
Yeah. He knew and understood. This is the one who's writing this is John, the Apostle John.
Right.
So this is very interesting. And, you know, this is one of my favorite texts that I refer to a lot, that the begotten Son, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, has declared him.
Yeah.
It's an amazing text to me.
So I'm going to continue on and read verses 19 through 28. And this is the witness of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed, and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he says, "I am not." "Are you that prophet?" And he answered him, "No." And they said to him, "Who are you, so that we may give an answer to those who have sent us? What do you say of yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." And they who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him and said, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ or Elijah or that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but one stands among you whom you do not know. It is he who is coming after me, who has been before me, of whom I am not worthy to loosen the thong of his sandals." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, there's some really interesting things in here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're asking John, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
And he says, "I am not the Christ." They ask him, "Are you Elijah?" Because there's a prophecy about, you know, the spirit of Elijah will come.
Right.
That will draw the sons to the fathers and the fathers to the sons. And he says, "I'm not Elijah." And they ask him, "Are you that prophet?"
He said, "No."
Yeah, that prophet being referred to is the in Deuteronomy chapter 18, where God tells Moses, "I'm going to send..." Moses and God are having this conversation because the people have told Moses, "We don't want to hear God speak.
Right.
We're fearful of his voice." And God's telling Moses, "They've spoken well. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send a prophet like you. and I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak the things that I have given him to speak. And anyone who does not accept in the hearing of his words, I will hold him accountable.
Right.
And, of course, that prophecy is about Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
And so they don't know who this prophet is. There's no name given him. So they say, that prophet. And that's the prophet they're talking about.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting when he says, where was that? Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer? And he goes back and he quotes the Bible. I am the one crying in the wilderness. Right. That was a text that we looked at.
And don't you think that they didn't know what he was referring to?
They knew exactly what he was referring to.
They knew the scriptures. They
absolutely
knew those scriptures he was talking about. You know, in verse 27, this is what I was talking about later on, to note that John was born 6 months before Jesus was.
Mm-hmm.
And in speaking of Jesus being he it is who, coming after me, who has been before me, of whom I'm not worthy to loosen the thong of his sandals. Talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that was sent into the world, was before John.
Yeah.
But yet he was after him, being born from Mary, you know, 3 months after him.
That's right. And because we read earlier in this same book of John that no one has seen God, and that the Son is from the bosom of the Father.
Yes.
So we can see that he had an understanding.
Yes.
That Jesus existed. All things were made through him.
Yeah. You know, the reason this is so important, friends, is that there are many people out that teach that Jesus did not exist before he came to this world.
The Bible says over and over again otherwise.
Yes. Yes. Let's continue on. And Mark, can you read John 1, 29 through 34?
Sure. John 1, beginning in verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, and he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water.' And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and remained upon in this translation it says, and he remained upon him.'" I'm interested to see very quickly.
Okay.
John 1:32. I'm opening up another translation here. John 1. This is one of the things that we were talking about earlier, friends, with some of the changes. So in the King James, it says, "And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him.'" So you can see they're turning the Spirit into a person rather than the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And so, let's see, that was verse 33. Where did I read?
32,
okay. It says in verse 33, "I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'"
So this is interesting that John, being a relative of Jesus, Mary and Elizabeth were cousins, didn't know who Jesus was. You know, apparently never had any interaction with him. Because, "And I did not know him," verse 33, "but he who sent me to baptize with water," that being God, "that one said to me, 'Upon whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remain on him, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'"
So John was an eyewitness. He yes. actually saw this happen.
And he declared, "This is the Son of God."
Yes, he did. He did. So,
you can see here that the baptism that John performed upon Jesus Christ was to fulfill all righteousness, is to fulfill the word of God. It caused John to understand that this is the Son of God because the Spirit of God came upon him and remained on him. And he declared that Jesus would be the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And so he just proclaimed, "This is the Son of God."
Mm. He knew and understood this very clearly.
Yes.
And all of these things that he witnessed happening was proof of this to him.
So, again, the question that we've been tasked to answer, and we're not going to complete today, is what is the difference between the baptism of John the Baptist and Jesus? And we'll all receive the Holy Spirit. So we need to go to John chapter 3. We don't have much time left.
Yeah, we have about actually less than 2 minutes, Ed. So
all right. I'm just going to read a little bit of John chapter 3. We're going to read much more continuing on next week. John 3, verse 1. And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which you do unless God is with him. That's interesting. He recognizes the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God working through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, saying, Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Hmm.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus here is talking about baptism.
Yes, he is.
Baptism of water and baptism of the Spirit, being born again.
So what I'm seeing so far is this is something that is necessary. This is necessary if
yes.
we're going to have a relationship with God and His Son, and if we're going to be in God's kingdom.
That's the words on the page.
That's what the Bible is clearly stating
yes.
here. So next week, let's pick up here. Maybe we can just review the
yep.
difference between the baptisms, and then we'll pick up here in John chapter 3. Is that where we
yes.
are? John chapter 3. So friends, I just want to encourage you, read John chapter 3
yes.
before next week, and then we'll go through it together.
Yes.
And Ed, thank you so much. What a great question that was.
Yes.
And next week you'll ask that question again. We'll review. We'll come right back to it. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this study. Thank you for your Son. Father, thank you for your word, the Bible, and for giving us this information that we can discern and know how to know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to have individual relationship with you, and help us to repent from our sins and turn to Christ. This is the only way to salvation. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us. Keep us safe until we come together again. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ed, thanks again for the study. And friends, we hope to see you here next week. Remember, the Bible series starts tomorrow night, 7 p.m. on prophecyhope.com. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.